This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. Now, again, if you'd like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. Remember, you can re-listen to this program on my website, and you can contact me through it. You can leave me prayer requests, and there's a weekly meditation there that you might find interesting, as well as my own personal testimony as to how I came to trust in the Lord and some tracts that I think that you might find helpful. I found them helpful. You might find them helpful as well. Now, today we want to continue with our journey through Genesis, and we have gotten up to where the whole world deteriorated with regard to their relationship with God and their relationship one with another, to where God said the imagination of man's heart is only evil continually, and he decided to destroy mankind that he had made from the earth. Now, isn't that a shame? To have made something good, and when he gets done with creation, to say that it is very good, and then to come probably about 1,500 years later to a point where he says, it grieves me. I am sorry that I have made this man on the earth. I'm going to completely destroy him. And he finds one faithful man by the name of Noah and says, okay, I'm going to destroy the earth. But Noah, you found grace in my eyes, and we've pointed out that Noah didn't find grace because he was good. Noah found grace because he was a true worshiper of God. It was the point in his life when he came to faith in the Lord Jesus and received the grace that was available to him, just as we do in the New Testament when we come to faith in the Lord Jesus. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so I want to read with you from Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22, where after Noah is given instructions as to how to build the ark, and he probably spent 120 years in the building of that ark from what we can tell. He says in verse 22, thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. Now, it's interesting that today I listen to people who tell me that they're doing all that God has commanded them as well. And generally they say, well, we know that God says we're to love God and we're to love one another. And so under the guise of loving one another, they set aside basically all of the moral commands of God. Under the guise of loving one another, they set aside the principles of holiness, separation, headship, and leadership in the local church, because when I talk to people, they say, well, it just doesn't work in our age. And then people wonder why it is that the American, in particular, the American church has become a social vehicle rather than a ministry for the gospel that saves souls. People wonder why we have become so attuned to spending our time on entertainment, on getting ahead, and on the pursuits of this life rather than pursuing eternal values. And it's because we really have never come to that point in our lives when we have said, God is right and I am wrong. And if God asks me to do that which does not please me in a natural way, I want to do it because it will please God, and then it will please me in a spiritual way. And if we're going to be a vibrant church in America today, it's time that we get back to the idea that if God commands it, then we should do it, whether the world around us is doing it or not, then we should do it. And so when I think about this, really, the question I have in my mind is, have we adhered to the basic commands of the New Testament? What are the basic commands of the New Testament? I think we find them in 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. where John the Apostle says, and whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments, and that means we guard his truth and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. So we start out with that basic command that we believe in the authority, the name, the character of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we love one another, and I don't think we can love one another until we have believed on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. And sometimes we get the cart ahead of the horse, and we try to show people how to love one another when they don't love God. And we forget to tell people that the instructions in the Bible are for our good, for our eternal good, and we forget to get our eye on eternity, and we have our eye always on what's in it for me now. And so I hear people say that they won't go to particular churches because they don't meet their needs. And I agree that if we're a spiritual people going to a spiritual church, the church will meet our needs. I don't think that a church should be considered a good church that doesn't meet our needs, but our purpose in going to a congregation or church is to please God, not to please ourselves. And when we take that doctrine to its ridiculous extreme, going to a place that meets our needs, we can convert our churches into most anything and call them Christian and say they please God when in fact they have thrown out all of the precepts that really do please God. And I'm taking those precepts not from the Old Testament. I'm taking them from the epistles in the New Testament. Those are the precepts that I interpret the rest of the Bible by. I think the early apostles knew what it was to please the Lord, and they were willing to do what the Lord wanted them to do to the point of death. We are not today dying with Christ. We are not today willing to make sacrifices for the sake of the gospel. We put spiritual things right after all the other things that we consider important in life. I wish, and I don't mean to be at all harsh today, but I wish I could see people with the same enthusiasm for their local church meetings and for the preaching of the gospel and for the blessing of those who come to faith in Christ that they will be showing when the Final Four plays in, I think it's Indianapolis, I'm not absolutely certain, but in Indianapolis in a coming week. I wish they could show the same enthusiasm that they show for the Super Bowl game. But of course, it's easier to get involved with those things that are popular and that feed the flesh than it is to get involved with those things that really please God. But Noah spent 120 years building an ark that likely he was being ridiculed for building because there had been absolutely no rain, but he was doing what God had asked him to do. The first thing he had done is he had come to faith in Jehovah. He had realized that there was a living God in heaven and he wanted to please him, and he found grace. He was a sinner like the rest of us, but he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And once he realized who the Lord was and that judgment was coming, then he got these instructions for saving his family and himself, and basically for saving the human generations. He was the one who made sure that we as humans were not wiped out and didn't go into extinction. Now, I know some of you are going to say, well, that story is mythological. I don't believe it was mythological. I believe it was literal. I don't understand how it could all take place, but I believe the God in heaven that created us was able to perform the miracles needed to preserve life in that ark. But Noah had to build the ark, and he spent 120 years, as near as I can tell, doing it, and it never rained. And you can imagine what his neighbors thought about the waste of his time and of his efforts and of his resources, because here they were going around doing what they wanted to do. And here he was spending his time building something that certainly was not needed. But Noah believed God when God had said judgment was coming. And we don't preach much about judgment today when we preach the gospel, but judgment is coming. And I'm not just concerned about the interpretation of prophecy when it comes to judgment on this earth, although I believe that that's coming as well. And I believe that Christians are saved from the wrath to come on this earth. But I'm concerned about what happens after we die. I've got friends on deathbeds, and I am so glad that the ones that I am particularly concerned about have left a clear testimony of their faith in the Lord Jesus so that I can be absolutely confident that when they pass from this life into the next, that they're going to pass from suffering to joy and not from a life of joy to a life of suffering. Oh, my dear friend, as you listen today, I hope you've considered eternity. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Noah did something for Christ. He was willing to do what God asked him to do. He built that ark, and he did all the things. It said Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. He didn't do that in order to get right with God. He did that because he was right with God. And the day came when the Lord brought all of the people and all the animals into the ark, and he closed the door. The door was closed before the rain came. If I understand the story right, the rain started falling 7 days after the door was closed, and there was no entry into the ark after the door was closed. And so we see that God provides opportunity. Opportunity to avoid the coming judgment, and it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We read that in 2 Peter chapter 3. And so, even in Noah's day, God had to eliminate the evil, and he wanted to eliminate the evil, but it's a strange work for God to destroy that which he has created, we read in the Bible. And so, dear friend, we need to recognize that God does judge sin. We can't turn our back on his precepts and make him something that he is not. His standards are his standards, and we who are born into this world need to be saved because we have violated those standards. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But if we believe on him, we enter into, in a figurative way, into the ark that has been prepared for us, and then we can do things that please God. Dear friend, I hope you're saved from the coming judgment. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program. We trust that thou wilt remember those who have listened, and that they will have listened with an understanding of the urgency of the message and our compassion for them. We thank thee for everyone who is truly saved, and we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.